Welcome to the Canvas of the Soul podcast with your host, Anissa Patman. Enjoy the show.
Hello, my listeners, and welcome back to Canvas of the Soul podcast. This is your host, Anissa Patman, coming back to you with season three. And I am so excited that I have a return guest, the one and only Jonathan Clark. And for those that don't remember Jonathan, he was a guest on our podcast, I believe for season two. And in season two, he talked about his first book that he published, which is, and I always misplace the word, which is QuoteQuest, A Journey to Your Highest Truth and Potential Through Self-Discovery. So if you didn't listen to that particular show, make sure you go back and listen. But for those that don't remember, I'm just going to give you a recap and then we're going to let him come on to the mic. So if you haven't already met the fabulous Jonathan Clark and a dear friend of mine, he was born and raised in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, graduated from UNC in Asheville, has a beautiful wife, two kids. He's a life coach for kids and adults. He also has his own business, which is Crazy Dreams, and that's Crazy Dreams, CRA-Z-Dreams. He is also an author of two published books, of one of which we're going to talk about today. Welcome to the show, Jonathan.
Thank you. Woo-hoo! Thank you for having me back. I'm a repeat guest. Does that make me a VIP?
Yep, you are VIP. Yeah, you are VIP.
I'll take it. I'm a canvas of the soul VIP.
Yes, you are. But we are so excited to have you back. I'm excited to have you back, especially for, you know, I'm a big fan, so I love your writing. I loved your first
Thank
book,
you.
Which I know was geared more for adults. And I really love this second book, which is geared for kids, and I believe it's kids ages 5 through 9. And for my listeners, the title of this new book is Finding My Why, The Quest for Purpose. And Jonathan's going to talk to us a little bit in more details about that. But for the listeners, I just want to propose this question to you. How often have you found yourself trying to find your why, meaning finding your purpose? So we know it's hard for us as adults, but let's talk about it as it relates to kids. So Jonathan, what or who inspired you to write this fabulous book?
Well, I wrote this book because I was looking for a way to connect with a younger audience. As you said, I'm a life coach, but I deal primarily with teens and adults. And my focus in my life coaching is primarily on identity and purpose, which is forming a sense of identity and living with a sense of identity and also living with a sense of purpose. Your identity and your purpose are not fixed. I believe those are fluid things that evolve and change over time. But when I say live with a sense of identity, it's a sense of awareness of who you are and what your values are and where you are now, and living with an intentionality for who you want to be and who you want to become in the world. As far as purpose, I believe that everyone has a gift. Yes. And everyone can serve, right?
Yes.
When you're able to use your God-given gifts to serve other people and make a difference in the world, then you're living with purpose. And I want to emphasize living with purpose and not living a purpose, because I don't necessarily believe everyone has one purpose or one thing that kind of puts you in a box. And it's a limiting thing when you think about, I have a purpose, then people feel like, well, if I don't know exactly what that one thing is, I'm a little lost. I don't exactly know what to do. And, you know, they feel like they're operating outside of where they belong because they can't pinpoint one thing they're supposed to do.
I think that's go ahead.
I'm sorry. The way I look at purpose is you can bring purpose to any place or anything you're doing, as long as you're operating within your gifts your value set and with the intent to serve other people, you can live with purpose now wherever you are.
No, I totally agree. I want to go back to something that you had said, and you said that you believe with living with a purpose. And I think sometimes, even in some of the literature as that we receive as adults or books that are out there, it always does, it does make it sound like it's always like a one purpose, one thing that you're here to do on earth, that one single gift. And I like what you said, that it could be many gifts, but you know, it's living with that purpose, and it's not just a purpose. And I think that's such a profound statement that you just stated, because I think sometimes as adults we get hung up on that, and then I think it prevents us from really finding what our gifts may be because we're so busy trying to focus on that one thing.
Right. And that's, I think that's perpetuated by the media a bit. I don't want to get too far off topic.
Right.
That wasn't the question. But I think, you know, when we watch television and we see people that are doing things like singing, acting, things that are high profile.
Yeah.
That, you know, there's always this language like this person was made to do this. Right. Well, that gives people the idea that there's one thing they're meant to do and they're supposed to do that thing.
Right.
There very well may be something, you know, phenomenal you're supposed to do, that God created you to do, but that doesn't mean that's the only thing you're here to do. You can bring a sense of purpose to anywhere you are in life. You know, we want to bring purpose to our family life. We want to bring purpose to our professional lives. You know, we want to bring purpose to any space we're living in throughout our lives. And that creates a sense of belongingness. You know, I believe everybody belongs, but sometimes we can feel like we don't fit when we kind of are struggling to figure out, okay, where can I operate that seems to be the best fit for who I am?
Right. No, I totally agree. Now, I do want to, because I'm an adult, but I read this book, which I know is from ages 5 to 9, correct, Jonathan?
Yeah, that is correct. And I didn't mean to take you too far off on a tangent, because I think your question was why I wrote the book.
Yes.
I gave all that context in terms of how I approach life coaching to say that when I'm doing that, I do it primarily with teens and adults because the content is kind of deep.
Yes.
Right. As far as elementary school age kids, you know, kids that are, you know, 12 and younger, they're maybe not ready to go as deep into the identity and purpose content as I can with older, with the teens and adults. However, I do believe the conversation about purpose and belongingness is one that should start as young as possible. So my intent in writing the book was to create a vessel that would enable adults and children, whether it's educators, parents, and kids,
right,
for them to be able to start a conversation about purpose and start a conversation about what purpose is, what does it mean, and how can they begin to live a life of purpose.
Got it. Now, I don't want to give away too much about the book, but it is the story of one little boy's desire to belong and in his journey to keep his flame of hope alive as he discovers, you know, what is possible for his life if he doesn't give up. And I think those are such key words, because I know that especially in today's time, you know, a lot of our kids, they suffer with self-esteem. They're trying to discover who they are, some depending on their circumstances, whether it's their family, their, you know, their current lifestyle or whatever the conditions may be, that they may lose that hope. So what are you hoping that this book will do for those kids that may be experiencing some of that negativity that's happening in their life today?
Well, you know what, as you said, there are a lot of negative inputs in
yes.
the world for adults and kids.
Oh, yes.
You know, I mean, you turn on the television and with everything that's going on in the world, from politics, coronavirus, racism, and, you know, all the different things that are out there today that have been the focus of 2020, you know, that on top of the, you know, just being a kid, you know, our rate of anxiety, depression, and suicide for kids is going up, you know, tremendously. Yeah. And, you know, so you begin to think about, as an adult, why is that? You know, what is it that would cause kids to decide that they don't want to be here anymore?
Yeah.
You know, and that begins with a lack of belongingness, lack of hope, and lack of love for themselves. So in writing this book, I was very mindful of, what can I do, or what can I write that would help kids at a young age begin to cultivate a sense of self-love, belongingness, and purpose, knowing that they're here for a reason and that their lives mean something and they're capable of achieving great things regardless of race, gender, you know, any type of background that they have. All kids can achieve greatness. So right. That was my intention in writing this book, is to connect with all kids. You'll see that diversity is a central part of the book. I wanted it to reflect, you know, yes. different kids from different backgrounds throughout the book. The main character is a young Black boy. And, you know, I was intentional in doing that as well for a couple of reasons. One, with everything that's going on right now with police brutality and racism, yes. in our nation, I began to wonder, like, what message is this sending to young Black children, particularly young Black boys, as a male myself, when they see how Black men are being treated, you know, with George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, you know, Breonna Taylor as well, you know, who was a female, but I'm speaking from a guy's perspective. What is going through the mind of a child of color, particularly, you know, a male in this situation, when they see those things going on about what their value is and what their place is in the world?
Right.
So I was intentional about making this, the main character of this book, a Black male, and illustrating his journey of having a conversation with his mom about what purpose is, and then his journey of discovering what purpose is and what might be possible for him in his life, if he, you know, works hard and just doesn't give up on himself.
No, and I so agree with you, because I think with, like, everything that you just said, all the negativity, especially as it's portrayed towards a young Black man or Black men, you know, it's easy, I would imagine that it's easy for a kid to start to feel not worthy or disliked, or, you know, what's so wrong with me that, you know, we have to be, you know, treated this way. So I definitely can relate to what you're saying here.
So, yeah, and I mean, the character, it is a Black male, but I don't want people to think that, hey, if I don't have a child that's a Black male, ages 5 to 9, then this book is not relevant for my child. I think this book is also an opportunity for people to expand their horizons and begin to see themselves in people that don't look like them.
Yes.
Because, you know, as an African-American, we grow up and we see movies, television shows, books that do not reflect what we look like all the time. You know, there won't be, you know, any, maybe one or two possibly, and maybe sometimes no African-American characters in movies, television shows, or books. And we watch those movies and those shows, and we read those books, and we learn from those books and absorb the lessons from those books and see ourselves in those characters, or empathize at least with those characters. Maybe if we don't see ourselves, we at least connect with the character on some level. Because there's a human experience in the story.
Right.
Well, I think people of other races should be able to do the same thing. You know, if you're a white parent, you know, and you have kids ages five to nine, this book is about purpose and destiny and identity and belongingness, and that resonates with everybody. So, you know, I would encourage you to be open to purchasing a book based on what it means and what it represents, and having, you know, allowing your kids the opportunity to connect with a central character that doesn't look like them and expand their ideas of what people of color are like, and that there are a lot more similarities than you think between people of different races.
Right. And I'm just going to read another portion from the book that kind of just reiterates what you're saying. And you state here that the world is filled with many different kinds of people, and each and every one of us was created with purpose. We differ by age, gender, race, appearance, and many other things, but everyone has something special, and each of our lives has meaning. So I think that you have related that to this book so that everyone that's listening that knows that although the character may be, a little black boy, that all children are special and has their lives has meaning regardless of the race, their parents, and everything, just as you have stated here. So I do encourage everyone of all races to get this book, and we're going to tell you where to get that real soon here. Jonathan, you also mentioned something else in the book, and I just want to read that too and just want you to kind of elaborate a little bit more. And again, you're talking about the kids. Your life matters, and you are here for a reason. God created everything with intention and purpose, and that includes you. You are never too young to start imagining who you might become and how you might make a difference in the world. You are capable of greatness if you have the courage to dream big, work hard, and never lose sight of those dreams along the way. So can you elaborate a little bit more and give a little bit more encouragement to the parents and also for our young kids who this book is geared towards based on that?
Yeah. Like I was saying before, the purpose of the book is just to begin the process of having that conversation between adults and kids about what does it mean to live a life of purpose? And also to encourage kids that they can achieve great things if they're just willing to not give up on themselves and believe in themselves. So you'll see, you know, several different professions represented in the book that are possible for kids. And I just think the first step to kids believing they can achieve things and having confidence and figuring out what they're, you know, how to live a life of purpose is to explore.
Yes.
Exploration, I think, is critical, especially for kids that maybe do not have do not have as many opportunities to get out and see different things in their everyday lives. I think it's important that parents encourage kids to read, explore different things online, and just learn about as many different things out there as possible, whether it's places to visit, professions to pursue, activities to try, and hobbies to pursue. Anything they can do to just diversify themselves and, you know, not think linearly or not think that, you know, they're only capable of achieving the things that they see around them on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
That I think instills a sense of hope, adventure, and confidence in kids.
Yes. I do want to go back to something else that you had just said, that it's important for the parents to have a conversation with their kids about that so that they can help them to explore. So how does a parent that is struggling with finding their own purpose, how can they have that positive conversation with their child or children?
Well, I think it starts with being willing to stepping outside your own comfort zone and leading by example.
So it could be like a journey for them to do together, really, right? Like by going through this book, and they can go through this journey together.
Yeah, this is definitely something they can do together. I think when kids see their parents exploring new things, trying different things, chasing their own dreams, and, you know, trying to achieve whatever they want to achieve in life, it sets an example for the child. So that's a good place to start. Encouraging your kids to do things that are outside their comfort zone. you know, and it's not like you're forcing them to be miserable, but right. just, you know, letting them try different things and not decide in advance that, oh, I'm not going to do that because I'm afraid or because I'm not good at it and, you know, someone might make fun of me.
Right.
You know, those are the thought processes that people go through when they're trying to decide whether or not they're going to try something is, how am I going to look if I do this? Will I look ridiculous? Will I be good at it? Will I succeed at it? Well, no, you won't be good at it at first, more than likely. you know, it takes practice and work to be good at anything. But I think having a sense of adventure and willingness to explore and try different things is the starting point. Because if you grow up and you only do one or two things, what if your gift is in something different and you never really gave yourself a chance?
Right, right. So I know that you have kids. I know you've probably taken them to explore different things so that they can try to go through this journey and try to discover, you know, what their gifts are. Can you give just some brief examples maybe of, you know, just different things that parents can possibly try for those that may just need a little help?
Well, my daughter she's always been artsy.
Okay.
So, you know, I've always encouraged her, you know, to continue to grow and pursue that lane. She found that lane very early in life. I did have her try a few other things. You know, I grew up playing basketball and, you know, so she kind of takes after me with her height. And I was like, well, maybe she could try that. So I signed her up for that. She was not feeling it at all and did not want to continue down that road. She's tried like tennis a little bit, took a few tennis lessons, done some swimming. So she's tried some other athletic things.
Right.
So I think that's positive because it teaches her about physical fitness and the importance of physical activity.
Okay.
So that's good. I'd like her to try more of a team sport. She seems to gravitate towards sports that just rely on her own ability. you know, I'd like for her to try a team sport to maybe learn, you know, have the experience of working with other people and having to navigate that.
Right.
I mean, she gets a chance to work in groups through school activities and other things. So she's still getting that experience. I just think playing team sports is definitely a good teacher in terms of developing skills for working with others.
Yes.
So that's something I would like her to do. She's in her teens now, so becoming a little more rigid in what she's willing to try. But when she was younger, we at least had the opportunity to get her to try that. She tried cheerleading. She did ballet, you know, a number of different things, and pretty much just settled into more so the arts of painting, sketching. She uses a lot of different media in her artwork and just explores all different kinds of things. And I just think that's her lane and that's where she kind of is more comfortable and flourishes the most.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure she's going to stick with that. She still might explore other things like she took a photography class.
Yeah.
So she's tried that. That's still kind of in the art vein, but, you know, she's extremely creative.
So that's awesome. Yeah.
You know, so now, you know, a lot of parents might discourage their kids from going down that lane because historically, you know, the arts have had a reputation of not being a way you could make a living for yourself and your family.
Right.
So, you know, that is a fear a lot of parents have is that, hey, I don't want my child to grow up and, you know, just kind of float around and do art all day and not be able to feed themselves. But luckily, we're in a different time period anyway, because now creativity can put you in a position to make a very good living for yourself.
Yes, most definitely. But I think it's good, yeah. And I've done it with my daughter, and of course you've done it with your daughter. I think it's good when you do allow them to self-explore and to try different things, because then that way they have a better idea of what's out there that I can do and try to do. And then they can maybe decide at an early age, or it might take them longer. You know, I tried this, but I don't like it, but at least they've tried it. you know?
Yeah.
So I think
just give it a shot. I mean, Jalen tried the art too. He was more of the performing art. So, you know, he did acting for a while, and was actually pretty good at it. And then, you know, he drifted away from it once he got, you know, close to high school age, because it wasn't the cool thing to do. So he wanted to kind of stick with sports, and he played football and basketball, you know, and probably not going to end up sticking with sports either, but he at least explored both of those.
Right.
And, you know, he's probably going to end up being more of like an entrepreneur, salesperson. He's kind of got that type of savvy mindset when it comes to business and sales. So I think that'll be his strong suit. But again, he explored different things first to see, you know, what he might enjoy or what he might be good at. And who knows, he might drift back toward the performing arts at some point and maybe explore that too.
Right. But I think the key word, like you're saying, is to allow them to explore as much as you can. And sometimes, even if you can't afford everything for them to explore, there's other ways to do that. It just takes like a little research to do that.
Yeah, there's lots of different programs and things out there for kids. So I would just encourage you to search and look around. And, you know, there's bound to be some programs out there that are that give you opportunity that won't cost, you know, won't be too expensive.
Now, so going back a little bit more back towards the book and finding my why, how long did it take you to discover your why, your gifts, your purpose?
interesting question. I think I have a pretty decent idea now, but I think it's still evolving, I think, even. But before I even settled into, you know, the life coaching thing, I mean, I was, you know, darn near 40 years old before, you know, I discovered that, you know, as being something I'm here to do. And, you know, even that, you know, it came from something else I was doing, because I was coaching youth sports. And, you know, in coaching basketball, some of the kids that were coming in just seemed to lack confidence.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, they would come in and not have basic skills. And really, I could just see that their lack of confidence was causing them to even underperform their current ability level once we had games. You know, they just didn't have enough confidence to even do the things that they knew they could do. So my focus turned to, how can I build confidence in the kids so that they can perform their best? So, you know, as I began to focus on helping each child to perform their best and instilling confidence and courage and all the underlining things that would let them be successful, that's when I kind of got the idea that, hey, I think this is something I would rather do even beyond sports, is to work with people on identifying, you know, help overcoming weaknesses and strengthening areas where they need to grow, and how to, you know, chart goals and how to practice to grow yourself and, you know, achieve whatever you want to achieve in life. And that's when I explored and discovered that, hey, there's people out here who actually do life coaching and focus on these areas with adults, primarily adults. And then there's a few life coaches that work with youth, but it's not that common. It's still in its infancy. And so that's an area where I'm focusing my attention, because there's a higher need there as well.
Right. But I think it's important, because I think sometimes as parents, sometimes we forget our own journey when we're trying to teach or instill something in our kids. And I think sometimes we have to take a step back and say, okay, hey, did this ever happen to me? Was I ever in their shoes? And the answer normally is yes. And how did I do that? And then how can I help my kids to do it, you know, just a little bit better, or to give them the roadmap, which I think with you writing this book has really provided a roadmap, you know, for those young kids to help them to start their journey on finding, you know, their why, their quest for their purpose. So I think that's awesome.
Absolutely. And, you know, like you said, as parents, you know, it's good for us to remember what it was like to be in their shoes.
Yes.
You know, What was it like for you when you were their age? What were you thinking about? Did you have dreams? How did your parents handle your dreams, and how did it make you feel, you know, whether it was good or bad? You know, if your parents handled it in a way that reinforced your dreams and your sense of, you know, confidence in exploring different things, then, you know, you can duplicate some of the things your parents did. If there were things that you felt like discouraged you, then, you know, you would stay away from those kind of things and take a different approach with your kids.
Yeah, most definitely. Now, before we tell everyone where to get the book, and then, of course, we have some questions for you as a writer as well for our listeners, but again, I don't want to give away too much, but I do like in the book where, you know, the character states, you know, everyone, he discovers everyone has a why. It's hidden within your dreams. Trust your heart and look inside. So can you elaborate a little bit more on that? Because I think sometimes we get a little scared. As adults, we get scared. So I can imagine as kids, you might get a little scared because most times we feel what we really want within our heart. We just don't trust it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, that's very true. And, you know, that can come from a number of reasons. But I think your kids being able to trust what's in their heart and go with it is going to be largely tied to the parent's ability to give permission to the kid to fail. Right?
Right.
If kids feel like they don't have room to make mistakes, then that reluctance is going to be there when it comes to trusting their gut or trusting their instincts to try something new or pursue something they really care about. But if the parent has said, hey, life is a journey, you're not going to be perfect, I don't expect you to be perfect, it's okay to fail.
Yes.
You know, it's better that you try different things and fail than, you know, only stick to one thing and spend your entire life wondering what if.
Oh, God, yes. Yes.
You know, so I think it's an empowering thing if a parent can give a child the freedom to go out and do different things and fall and get back up again and just repeat the process. You know, it's like, or we're learning to ride a bicycle. Nobody rides a bicycle perfectly the first time. You know, we fall, we skin our knees.
Fall over.
Yeah. And then the spikes on the little spikes on the pedals.
Yeah.
And the pedal used to swing around and hit you on the shin.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mean, really thinking about it, like learning to ride a bicycle can be a painful experience, right?
Yeah, or how you forget to push the brakes backwards so they can, the pedals backwards so you can stop, and instead you go forward.
Oh, yeah, you run into things and crash into things.
You're right.
You know, all kinds of things. You hit the curb and fall, and, you know, but at the end of the day, you learn how to ride the bicycle and it becomes easier. And then once we learn, we don't forget, right?
That is correct.
So, you know, the same approach, you know, we can take the same approach with other things in life, knowing we're going to fall. You're going to get bumps and bruises. You know, you're going to do embarrassing things. How embarrassing is it to wreck your bike in front of your friends, right?
Right.
But, you know, kids become self-conscious over time. They don't start out being self-conscious. You know, what's one of the first things we learn to do? We learn how to walk.
Yes, and we fall and get back up.
We fall over and over again learning how to walk. But you know, all kids continue to try to walk even though they keep falling down, right?
That's correct. You can keep on doing. You have no choice. You get back up.
Yeah, get back up and try again, right? So, but at some point, kids become self-conscious about what other people think about them failing.
Yes, because you're right. Because when you're a kid, you don't think about that stuff initially. You, like you said, you fall when you're an infant trying to walk. You don't care who's looking at you. You start laughing or you cry, but you get back up and you try it again because you're trying to get to the next destination, whether that be a foot away or, you know, 3 feet away. So, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, we take that failure, that fear of failure, and we instill it in each other by judging each other when other people make mistakes or other people have an imperfection. When we start to like judge other people and make fun of, you know, their mistake, make fun of how they look, laugh, point fingers,
yes,
criticize, that those are the things that start to give kids pause about trying again, because they don't want that result. They don't want to feel like they're an outcast. They don't want to feel like they don't belong, like they're not as good as everybody else. You know, kids want to be loved. They don't want that judgment and that criticism. And that's the beginning of creating a child that doesn't have confidence and, you know, is afraid to explore and try new things. And it risks preventing them from discovering where they're gifted.
Yes, I agree. You're so right about that. Well, I think this this book is wonderful for those that are listening, the parents. It definitely gives your kids a roadmap. It gives them that beginning to start their journey on finding their purpose. I think it's a book for all parents to purchase. And Jonathan, can you tell them where they can get this exciting book? I've read it twice, and I'm an adult, so.
It's available on my website at Crazy Dreams. That's CRAZ-Dreams.com/products.html. So you can type in the whole thing, or you can just go to CRAZ-Dreams.com on the homepage, and you'll see the Finding My Why. That's Y, the letter Y, not W-H-Y. It's Finding My capital Y. On the homepage, you'll see a picture of the book, and you can click that link, and it'll take you to the page to see some sample pages from the book and then also purchase the book.
Awesome. And we're also starting the Finding My Why Nation. So go purchase your book, read your book, take a picture of it with your kid, and then post it on Jonathan's Facebook, which is, they can go to your Facebook page. It's Finding My Why, right?
Yeah, it's facebook.com/findingmywhychildrensbook.
Awesome. So make sure everyone goes there. Spread the word. Again, we're going to do hashtag Finding My Why Nation. I did a TikTok post just advertising the author today. So, and I have the hashtag Finding My Why Nation. So I typed that in. So we want everyone just to start this as a revolution. But because I think it's awesome. I think it's good when you can start kids early, when you can start them early on trying to discover who they are and what their gifts may be. That helps them once they get into adulthood, well before they get into adulthood. So we definitely want everyone to purchase this. Christmas is coming up, and what a great gift to give to our kids, something for them to read. And Jonathan, do you see yourself eventually making a sequel to this for kids that are a little bit older, past the age of 9? I know you just published this one, and I'm already rushing you to write another one, but in the future, do you see this happening?
Yeah, I think, you know, the book has a lot of potential to continue the series and build on it. So, you know, not just in the same age group, but also with kids who are a little older, because, you know, it's a topic where there's a lot of depth. So there's definitely an opportunity to dig a little deeper and create some content that's appropriate for older kids as well. So, you know, that's something that, you know, we'll look at once this book kind of has its chance to get its wings a little bit and see what happens. So that's something that's already on my mind. And then also, you know, there's, I think, merchandising opportunities with the book as well. I think people understand what that means more once they actually read the book. It is a little different in terms of the characters and things in the book. But yeah, I think there's an opportunity here for us to further spread this message of living a life of purpose and helping kids to start to explore what their gifts are and where they're the best fit earlier in life, so we can have kids positioned for greater success in the future. There's a lot of grownups out there that, you know, we get into a profession and then we don't know really how we got there. We don't like it. And then we're like, okay, well, how can I figure out what's the better fit for my skill set? And then we try to change careers as adults, which comes with its challenges, right?
Right.
So, you know, if we can start the process of looking at, you know, where we fit based on our gifts, who we are, what we're interested in, and look at it earlier and align ourselves earlier, then I think not only will we be more successful, but I think the world will benefit from it as well, because more people will be living in alignment with their God-given gifts.
I agree. I definitely agree. So everyone, don't forget to go on to Crazy Dreams, CRA-Z-Dreams.com, and to order your copy. And I think he will also sign it. It just depends on how many, orders or requests that you're receiving. I'm not sure, but I'm sure he'll sign it for you. Tell him that you are a Canvas of the Soul listener, and he'll sign it for you. Right, Jonathan? I put him on the spot.
Of course.
So you can get an autographed copy for your child. So definitely go out there onto the page and order the book. And order it for, you know, your children, nieces, nephews, or any other kids. You can also use this book if you're a nonprofit organization and you want to do a fundraising activity. And Jonathan can tell you more about how that works. How can they, should they reach out to you via Crazy Dreams to find out more information about that process?
Yeah, I would go to the website, to our contact us page, and you can send a message inquiring for more information on that.
Awesome. And so I do just have a couple more questions for you, Jonathan. You know, because you are fulfilling one of your gifts, which you are an excellent writer. And so God gave you that gift to be able to write, to be able to express yourself, and also to use it as you're doing here with this book to help others, to help kids to find their dreams, you know, what their purpose in life, and put them on the journey to discovering who they are and what they want to be. And with that in mind, there are a lot of other people out there in the world, adults that, you know, that might want to write their own book because they have something to share or something to help someone. So for those that are aspiring writers, or they may be writers, but they just haven't taken that leap of faith to go through this process, can you explain or give them encouragement on how to proceed? I mean, we know anything is not an easy journey, but I mean, you've done it. You've gotten your book published. It's a wonderful book. The illustrations are awesome. So can you help our aspiring writers? What should they do if they find themselves stuck or discouraged?
Well, that's a place I've definitely been as well. I was able to publish, you know, my second book now, but it was a journey for me as well. You know, I'm currently 45 years old, so it took some time to get there. But what I would say to that is, number one, it's very easy now compared to in the past to publish a book, because there's self-publishing avenues out there now. And, you know, it's not just a matter of creating a manuscript and then just, you know, praying that a publisher will agree to publish your book.
Right.
You know, we're all so much more empowered now because of technology and the internet to be able to get our stories and our messages out into the world. You know, you just have to be willing to do your research and study and go through the steps and go through the process. So I would say the publishing side is actually the easiest part. The hardest part is actually writing the book. because, you know, I've been writing since I was a kid, and it's something that I've always loved to do. And, you know, ever since I can remember, I've gotten positive feedback on my writing. And it took years for me to come back to writing and really sit down and do it on a regular basis. Because, you know, we all have jobs, we have responsibilities.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes it feels irresponsible to spend time writing when there's other things you could be doing that maybe might have a faster payoff for yourself, for your family, professionally, and things like that. But I would tell, I would say to you, if writing is a, you know, a gift or a passion or both, and it's something you really enjoy and you really want to do, just carve out time, even if it's only 30 minutes to an hour a day, just consistently carve out time to sit down in front of the paper, whether it's, whether you're doing it with a pen and paper or whether you're in front of a laptop, you know, with Word document, however you want to go about doing it, consistently sit there on a regular basis on a schedule. And even if nothing comes out, make sure you keep sitting down in front of that paper or in front of that laptop. And over time, you will start to write and the material will start to come. But it starts with the consistency and the courage to sit there and go through the process. So I would say that. And then finally, in terms of writer's block is something we do to ourselves. We usually get writer's block because we're not allowing what wants to come out to come out. So, you know, if you can take off all your, you know, reservations, fears, and all the things that you're concerned about when you're trying to figure out what to write, don't try to make it perfect. It's not going to be perfect right out of the gate. You can always revise, but it's more important for you to allow the flow to come. Even if it doesn't make sense, just get into the habit of allowing your thoughts to make it onto the sheet. And as you do that, I mean, you can always go back and delete things out and move it around or whatever you want to do. But if you keep trying to get it perfect in your head or make sure you're not saying the wrong thing before you put anything on paper, you probably continue to have a block. And you also deny yourself the opportunity to write some of your best material. The things that resonate most with readers are the things you're afraid to say.
Wow. That's a profound statement. So all those things that you're suppressing as a writer or trying to, I guess, beat around the bush, what you want to say is what they really want to hear.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've been through that process, so I know. And, wow. You know, in my first book, Quote Quest, I had to get personal in that book, you know, in the beginning of it, just explaining why I wrote the book and some things about my background, things that, you know, I would rather not mention. But I thought it was relevant and I thought it would connect and help the reader understand the importance of that book. So I had to have the courage to tell the truth and talk about some things that I, under normal circumstances, wouldn't talk about.
No. I mean, I can relate to that too. I haven't written a book, but I know it's hard sometimes for me to dig deep inside, especially with stuff that I feel is personal. Even though you want to share some of it, but it's just something that keeps, that holds you back a little bit. But I think that's good for our listeners to know, especially our aspiring writers.
Yeah, it's that fear. It's that fear of judgment. But, you know, if you want to achieve anything big, it's going to come with a risk. And, you know, just think about, always think about, okay, we're back to purpose. And if you think about impact, rather than focusing on what you're afraid of or how the consequences might affect you if you put something out there that's embarrassing, worrying about what people might say, if you focus on the impact, what kind of impact can it have if you release your truth and you put your truth on paper and get your book and your story out there? What impact can you have on people that can identify with your journey if you tell your truth? And if you focus on that and what mark you want to leave on the world while you're here, then I think the benefit of that far outweighs any judgment from people you don't even know who, you know, probably aren't doing anything productive with their lives anyway. So I wouldn't worry about people who are taking the time to criticize you on the internet or, you know, judge you or anything like that, because those aren't the people you're worried about. Your focus is the people that God created you to connect with and to touch and to impact.
Couldn't say that any better. I have another question for you. So what does, this is your second book. I have two questions. I'm sorry. So this is your second book. How did publishing your first book change your process of writing, if at all?
I think it would be in line with what I just said.
Okay.
I think that first book, going through the first process, I think took away, it made me less guarded, because I went through the process of talking about some things that I really preferred not to. You know, so it took away that tendency to protect and to guard myself, so that I could really write something with that had some meaning and some power to it, and really reach the people who I really believe I'm intended to reach with my writing. You know, so I think that was the biggest gift, was to give me some courage and really give me perspective on what I want to achieve with my writing, and focus on who I want to connect with and who I want to impact, and not focus on what I'm afraid might happen based on what I say.
No, that makes so much sense. Now, I know as a writer, because you said you've been writing since you were a kid, so how many unpublished and or half-finished books do you have?
not many. Years ago, I wrote a manuscript of poems, I think, and I never published that. But it, I mean, that's probably 20 years old. So, you know, that's something I could go back and take a look at and see if I might be interested in ever, you know, releasing any of that content. But it's been a long time. I'd have to go back and look at it first.
Well, you know, so we're going to want more.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know, we're going to definitely want more, especially the books that help our kids, and also, of course, those that help us as adults as well, too, because even though the older we get, we still need encouragement. We still need support. We still need reminders of, you know, our purpose and of our gifts. So we definitely want more books from you.
I've got a book I'm working on right now, but it'll take some time because I'm actually still on the journey.
Okay.
But it's definitely, if I hadn't had the breakthrough with Quote Quest, then I don't think I'd be writing, you know, that book either. So that's another example of how that first process, you know, opened me up to do something even bigger.
Awesome. So before we close out, Jonathan, is there anything that you want to leave with the listeners?
I would just say, number one, work to get clear on who you are. So think about, I always think back to my childhood, because I think that's one of the purest times in our lives. I think we're closest to who we really are at the beginning and at the end of our lives. Because at the beginning, you know, we haven't gotten jaded or yet, and we haven't right. been corrupted by the world. And at the end, we don't care anymore.
That's true.
So we're probably more true to ourselves at the tail ends, at the ends of our lives, at the beginning and at the end. So in that in-between period, if we can get clear on our own nature, what we love, what we're passionate about, what our gifts are, and, you know, set about making a difference in the world using what God has given us in a way that, you know, we're grateful and faithful and loving ourselves and loving other people, I think it's going to just create a much more fulfilling life for each and every one of us, and create a better world for everybody if we can reach that stage earlier. So that's my purpose in writing Finding My Why, is to help start those conversations earlier and start that journey in childhood so that more people can be aligned with their gifts and live a life of purpose sooner in life and lead a more fruitful life for themselves, right, and a better world for everybody.
I totally agree. So for all my listeners, please pick up this book, order this book, go to crazydreams.com. Remember, that's CRAZ-Dreams.com. Order a book for your kids, for your nieces, your nephews, the neighborhood kids. You know, pass the word on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, any of the Instagram. So if I missed any, spread it. spread the word. And pick up this book and seriously take a look at it and let it be a guide, a roadmap for your children. I'm just going to say this, you know, like Jonathan stated in the beginning, explore. Let your children explore. And I'm going to say, let your child's purpose or their gifts be bigger than your fear. Help them through this journey by finding their why. So pick up that book, Finding My Why, The Quest for Purpose. Every kid needs this book. This is something that
regardless of color, all backgrounds, all races can identify with the story. So
that's so true. Yes. Every kid, every color. We don't look at color. I know Jonathan is not focused on color when, you know, writing this book. All kids need this. And I think that as a nation, that's how we need to look at it as it relates to our children. What can we give our children to help them make their journey a little easier? What roadmap can we provide to them? And I think helping them to discover who they are and what their purpose is one of the most amazing gifts that we can give our kids. So again, Finding My Why, The Quest to Purpose. Pick up a book today. This has been your host, Anissa Patman. Jonathan Clark, we thank you so much for coming on again. You are a VIP guest. And for sharing,
thank you.
You're so welcome for sharing your story. Until next time, my listeners, I will listen to you again, or we'll be back again with Canvas of the Soul podcast. Thank you so much. And again, pick up this book.
This part of the podcast is sponsored by Crazy Dreams. Unlimited dreams, infinite possibilities. Learn how to live your best possible life through self-love and effective self-management. Log on to crazydreams.com. Thank you for listening to the Canvas of the Soul podcast. You can contact us at info@canvasthesoul.com. You may learn more about our podcast at canvasthesoul.com.